Pawtucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. Broadcasting live from the Alabama State House here this morning, as we do usually on Wednesdays during session. But once again, shout out to Leader Stadhagen for always making the accommodations for us. In the meantime, 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the program. What you got to do, you just you text in, and I do my best to read your text online. Real quick, my rundown of the program to go, as I understand it, and this is up to, it's very fluid. Here in about a half hour, we'll hear from State Representative Matt Simpson from our neck of the woods, and Daphne, Carrie Underwood, Bubba, as he prefers, from former mayor of Tuscumbia, you got to know when he was up in the Shoals. He'll be with us at the 11 o'clock hour. And then I believe we may have David Faulkner, another lawmaker from the Birmingham area, sometime that 11 o'clock hour. But we're playing it by ear, ladies and gentlemen, so stay tuned. But joining us now, a lawmaker I got to know kind of, I guess, over the last 3 or 4 years. You've done your tours of duty here so far, but State Representative Jamie Keel is with us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. I appreciate the opportunity to be on with this esteemed group that you have lined up today.
It's esteemed is a very, very good way to put it. Before we get into some specifics, talk to us a little bit about your take on this session. Last session, it was like a get-to-know-you freshman year sort of deal. And I'm sure you got some things accomplished, but this is where we're really starting to see the transition out of the McCutcheon era into the Ledbetter era of the House of Representatives, and just even the speed and the way things are handled, and, you know, very productive, even with a 2-week groundhog for gambling, still a very productive first half of the session. What do you think of, what do you make of it?
Well, we've been working 3-day weeks. The first 5 weeks, we went 3 days a week. That's atypical. Normally 2 days a week and committee days on Wednesdays. And so we have worked very diligently in the time we've been here. We took two weeks off for us to be back in our districts to meet with constituents and to work in our districts. And I think that's important. And so working those extra days during the first 5 weeks allowed us to do that. I've only been here 6 years, but I talked to a lot of people who have worked in Montgomery for many, many years, and they don't recall any legislature ever doing that before. And so we've put in the work so far, trying to be efficient with our time, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just it's obvious. This chamber has made the most of their time, what time they've had. Let's start here. A significant accomplishment, this ballot harvesting bill and getting that, and just the absentee ballot issue looming. And I know it had its detractors, but I'm no newbie to Alabama politics, and I know in the past, absentee balloting has always been sort of I don't want to call it like a Democrat sort of dirty trick. Those are my words, not anybody else's. But, you look with this competitive second congressional district race, potentially in the general election in November, maybe some other things on the ballot later on. But it seemed like it was the time was right to do something just to make sure.
Well, Election Day has always been the most secure way to vote in Alabama. It still is. And we have a very secure election process on that day. Most of the things that happen that are unscrupulous happen outside of Election Day, and that is the absentee ballot process. And so we just want to make sure that no one is profiting from that process. 3 years ago, then State Representative Wes Allen had a bill to do this. He became Secretary of State, now serves in that position. And so I took up that cause last year, got it through the House, got it to Senate through Senate committee, and it stalled at the end. And so this year decided to start it in the Senate. Senator Gudger started the bill, and we were thankfully able to pass it. The governor signed that into law just a couple of weeks ago, so I'm very thankful for her leadership in getting that security measure put in place.
Yeah, well, it seemed like during COVID, things kind of got away from us a little bit on ballots. I mean, on, you know, election integrity, and you always had those questions. And was it quite the problem here in Alabama that it wasn't in a lot of other places? It's still, I think, a lot of people were at least concerned about it.
Well, you know, in Alabama, there was nothing to prosecute because we didn't have a law preventing people from profiting from the process. And so now we do. We have a way that if someone is getting paid to pre-fill ballot applications or to somehow profit off the application process, then we have a way to prosecute that now. We didn't before, and that's the reason we weren't prosecuting.
Well, and it's on the books now. So the enforcement mechanism, I don't know, but I mean, I guess at minimum, it's going to be a deterrent.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, I think there has to be teeth in any law. And if, you know, a law that doesn't have a mechanism to prosecute is really not worth having at all because, you know, people will ignore it if there are no consequences.
Well, it was a misdemeanor, and, you know, but and the problem was, guys, my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, it would go on, and the local prosecutor is like, you know, sometimes the local prosecutor was the beneficiary.
Sure.
It wasn't going to prosecute it. At least now it's a felony, right? And
that's right.
That's more serious. So maybe, you know, that makes you think twice about it. But that was always like, it's just like gambling. They left it up to the local prosecutor or the local law enforcement. Just we're not gonna prosecute that. We're not gonna do anything with that. What are you, crazy? And it just kind of went on. And when these guys would say to you, "This is a there's no cases of ballot harvesting in Alabama," or "There's one out of like 700 elections." The reason is that they just weren't being prosecuted, it
sure
seemed like.
Yeah, that's exactly true. And I want to make the point, too, we had a lot of misinformation floating around about not being able to help elderly people or disabled people or blind people. None of that's true. You can help anybody you want to help with their absentee ballot application. You know, if you need help, you can request that help. It's just not true. And so we just want to make it where these outside groups that are coming in and harvesting ballots by the hundreds could not do that, could not be paid to do that.
Yeah, well, and then but you're right. They would there's already, I think you explained it too, there's already federal laws that protect what needs to be done. It's just that so even if the state passed something that kind of contradicted federal law, well, the federal law is going to kick
the voter right act. The Voter Rights Act would trump any state law that we could pass anyway. But we made sure that we were clear in the bill that people could get assistance.
Yeah, well, that's what it looked like to me. Joined by State Representative Jamie Keel here on the program. Representative, another couple of bills here that you're looking at. First of all, this Pregnancy Crisis Center, the tax credit. I know it was tried. Where is that headed?
Well, I filed the bill again this year. We passed it out of the House committee and out of the House last year. It stalled in the Senate also. You know, our state, we are, after 2019, when we passed our anti-abortion bill, in my view, we're the most pro-life state in the country. And because of that, the very nature of that means there should be more babies and more mothers in Alabama. And so the pregnancy crisis centers across the state, they're on the front lines of helping those people make good decisions about giving birth, make good decisions about prenatal care, about postnatal, post-birth care, about how to take care of your child. And then in the event that someone doesn't, is not able to become a parent or doesn't feel the time is right for them to do that, to help them with the adoption process. And so there has never been a greater need for pregnancy crisis centers than there are now in Alabama. People who are in that position are in a tough spot, And we want to acknowledge that and make sure they have the resources before and during and after pregnancy to be sure that they make the best decisions for them and their baby.
Well, and last time we got hung up, like yesterday, with ETF, when you do these kind of tax credits, and that was sort of Chairman Orr's, his jurisdiction there, and having to say no to a lot of tax credits. But I mean, do you have any sense that this is a different year, that it's going to be a different outcome?
We get tens and hundreds of millions of dollars of proposed tax credits every year. And if we grant every tax credit, then there won't be enough money to cut the lights on at the schools and pay the teachers next week. And so we do have to be very careful about which credits go through and which don't. But this is a life and death situation. This is an issue that we largely created when we outlawed abortion in Alabama. And so by abortions no longer happening at abortion clinics, there are new babies in Alabama. There are mothers who might have sought out an abortion before who are now giving birth. And these folks are not in that position. I don't think anybody goes into an abortion clinic wanting to have an abortion. They're in a very tough position when they do that. They're often poor, not always, but they're in a very tough position to feel like they need to kill their baby. And because we stopped that for the most part, we need to make sure that we're giving resources to those folks that they can make the very best decisions for them and their babies and their health, and that we not only give birth to babies, but we raise citizens who are then giving back to their communities someday. So we want to make sure they have the very best start that they can.
Well, it seems like this is like around the year on some appropriation. I mean, it can't be that much, is it?
It's a $10 million cap.
Yeah, so. Yeah,
so out of a $10 billion or so spending year from the ETF.
So it's just a real, real small
it is
portion of that. One more thing, just a couple more minutes here, and I'm surprised this isn't something that isn't already on the books. When you're a minor and you get a traffic citation, you don't. Now most of us, it was going to show up on the insurance, and your parents are going to find out, but you don't. Your parents aren't informed when you get a ticket, and here you are, I would think, like, especially with some, younger guys, just not aware of the consequences of not taking care of it, right?
That's absolutely true. I've got a 17-year-old daughter. She drives my car. It's my insurance. I'm liable for her because she's a minor. And if she gets pulled over for a traffic infraction, I could never know about that. If she had the money to pay that or somehow get out of that ticket, I may never know it. And it came home to me in Northwest Alabama. A gentleman and a lady that I went to high school with, their son was killed in a automobile wreck, tragically. T.J. Morgan and his girlfriend, Lexi Glass, were both killed driving early one morning. And neither of them had their seatbelts on. And what the parents found out later was that TJ had been given traffic citations for not wearing his seatbelt as a minor, and his parents never knew. And I don't know if it would have changed the outcome or not, but you've got to think that if a parent knew and a parent was able to talk to a child and at least tell them the dangers, that there could be different outcomes from things like that. And so that's the reason I brought this bill. I've got the bill on the House for Thursday. And I feel like if for no other reason, if it's my child and they're driving my car and they get a traffic infraction, I should know about it.
Yeah. Well, best of luck with that. Representative, we're out of time, but we always appreciate you coming on the program. Let's do it again soon.
Thank you very much.
State Representative Jamie Keel here on the program. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show with FM Talk 106.5.
A place to rest my spirit if I can. Perhaps I may become a highwayman again. Or I may simply be a saint. single drop of rain.